Loving Liberty Network is excited to present Ask an Immigrant, a weekly radio show by Lydia Wallace Nuttall and immigrants from all over the world who share their personal stories as to why they came to America. Lydia is the author of Forgotten American Stories, Celebrating America's Constitution, and an executive board member for We the Kids, with the mission to put God back into America's history and to inspire kids to value liberty and our United States Constitution and to be proud to be Americans.
Welcome, everyone, to Ask an Immigrant, dedicated to helping us and our rising generation value, have gratitude for, and appreciate what we have here in America, this great country. I'm proud to be an American, and you can be too. And how we do this, how we foster gratitude and appreciation for what we have, is by interviewing immigrants from all over the world and having them share their story with us. So today, we invite a special guest. She's my personal friend. I'm Lydia Nuttall, by the way, and we have with us Haley Wilson. Haley, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Lydia.
Yay, we're so happy to have you on the show. So I don't know if anyone detected, but Haley has an accent because she is from the great country of
which? Australia.
I
was meant to say that earlier.
I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, do I give her a hint where she's from? Oh, good. Yeah, she knows where she's from. She's from Australia. So welcome to Ask an Immigrant. And so, Haley, why don't you just begin? I love asking everyone to share a favorite story from their childhood or their youth, when they were living in their native country, that will reflect maybe a tradition or Australian culture or favorite food or something like that, something, the weather, climate, something like that. So go for it. Share with us.
Well, I did actually grow up in the outback, is what people like to call it, but I grew up in the north, far north of Queensland, which is the northern part of Australia, on the east coast. And I grew up a little differently from a lot of other kids at the time. When I was about 3 and a half, my parents decided to move from a good-sized town where my dad owned a fishing business, and moved to the little town of Cooktown, which actually was named after Captain Cook, whose ship broke down in the river there. And so they named it Cooktown, very little town. And my parents decided to sell their house and buy 10 acres in the middle of nowhere up by Cooktown.
Oh, wow.
So I, from that point on, that's mainly what I remember is, we arrived to this piece of land that had no road, no nothing. It's just covered in trees, and we just kind of hacked our way in and set up a camping trailer. And we call them caravans. You guys call them mobile homes here. But we lived in that for a while, and with all the animals running around and things like that. But it was kind of a rough beginning. We had no electricity, and there was no town water out that way. We had a river down the back, so we would pump our water, and my dad had a great big tank, and the water would be pumped into the tank and gravity fed down to the shed, because we didn't live in a house, we lived in a shed. And and you know how these things go. We were, you know, my parents were going to build a house, and we lived in a shed for 8 years. Anyway, we got the slab laid for our house, and then my parents got divorced, so we never actually got a house. We just had a slab. But living out that way, living with an outside toilet and no electricity, lighting, you know, candles and gas lamps at night, and you know, living very close to nature that way, just it's just a story that not many people have that experience anymore.
You are
Most
not kidding.
Grow up with,
you could
know,
definitely
the...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, most people just are used to growing up with all the creature comforts that we have today. And people still had electricity and town water, but just not out where we were. So it was just made life a little bit more interesting. And
so how far away were you from, quote-unquote, civilization about-ish?
Honestly, we're about a half-hour drive on a dirt road. It really wasn't wow. that bad. We weren't isolated. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that far in the middle of nowhere, but, you know, if it rained in the wet season, you would get stuck out of town, or you would get stuck in town. Depends on which side you were on when the rivers came up and the bridges got flooded. So, you know, school is a little different in Australia. We would start at the beginning of the year and finish at the end. And the wet season is from, you know, November to March. Sometimes you wouldn't be able to go to school because the bus couldn't come and get you.
Would the bus, did you have to go at the end of your dirt road, half hour into town, towards town to catch the bus? Or did it come up
to
where you were?
No, the bus would actually pick me up from my front gate. But if it rained too much, our dirt road would become really muddy and boggy. And sometimes the bus would get bogged.
Oh, dear.
And sometimes the creeks would be up. And there's just fun times like that, getting rained in.
So I have a question, and that is, can you, obviously you're here in America now, so I'll ask you more questions about that in a minute, but when you learned about the pilgrims, that's what I was thinking of when you were sharing with me how you settled this 10 acres of land by bushwhacking in and camping in a trailer. Did you, when you learned the story of the pilgrims, could you relate?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, the pilgrim story is so, it's kind of special, and it has a lot of interesting elements to it. But yes, I actually relate my story more to Big House in the Little Woods by Ingrid Watson.
The Little House in the Prairie series?
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
great.
I read
yeah.
Little House in the Big Woods, and I'm like, that's kind of how I grew up. Okay, it's really funny. Without the cow, you know, but we had chickens and ducks and dogs and
oh my,
and then wild things, snakes and whatnot.
One little detail question, just for my own personal interest, is I have another friend from Australia who would talk about how she would ride her horse like pell-mell through the bush, she called it. And there were these huge, like gargantuan spiders with their spider webs, and just the sheer terror of not stopping as you saw one ahead of you and going through that. Do you know what she's, can you relate to that, or is she in a different part of Australia?
Yes. Oh, no. Yeah. So the place where we lived was a little bit more heavily forested than a lot of areas of Australia. But yes. So these spiders would love to suspend their big web between the trees, and you would always walk through them.
Ugh,
and you'd be pulling web off your face, off of your eyes, out of your hair, and occasionally the spider too, but they're pretty big, so you tend to kind of see them before you hit it. But you dance around a little bit and make sure it's not on you. But yes, it's the spider that makes the cross in there, and I can't remember what it's called, but they have a yellowish web, and
okay.
I'm sure they probably have a nasty bite, but I've never really heard of anyone being bitten by one. It's usually Phew. Someone walks through their web.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, off that creepy subject. So, Haley, so about how old were you when you had maybe an inkling that maybe you weren't going to be living in Australia anymore?
You know, I never had any inklings. Right up until the very last second. Yeah, you know, right before. But not previous to that. You know, I always kind of liked a little bit of an adventure. And a couple of years out of high school, I ended up moving down to Tasmania, and which is a very long way from home. It's from one, you know, one end of the country to the other. And that's, you know, where I met my now husband, who's from here. So it wasn't, I want to go and live in such and such a place. I actually had ideas to travel. I wanted to go to Turkey and India and all these places that seemed really fascinating and interesting. You know, now, of course, I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't want to go, you know, pick a place. And I'd be like, oh, no, well, I don't know why I wanted to go there. You know, as you're naive when you're young, and you just see the cute, pretty side of things, and then you get a little bit older, mm-hmm. and you start to really mm-hmm. learn about places, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I would want to go there now. And but you know, I did want to travel. I never did get to travel to any of these other places, but
because
you know, I came to the United States, and
because of your husband. You said you met him there in Tasmania. And your husband's American.
And my husband's from America. And
how was he in Tasmania then? What was he doing in Tasmania when you met?
So my husband served his mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so Tasmania just was part of that mission. And, you know, and that's how I got to meet him. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I went out, actually, to date him for 6 weeks.
In
and that
America?
Was the first time I'd ever come to the United States, right? And that was in 2002. I mean, sorry, 2001. In the December of that year, and you know, it's winter, and I remember I was trying to buy clothes. I mean, we're in the middle of our summer, and here I am. I'm going to our little town's shoe shop looking for some boots. And I found
in Australia.
Yes. Well, our little town.
Or so Tasmania.
I didn't live in Cooktown. I actually moved back home to where my mum lived, which is not far from Cooktown, but a little further south. And it's a farming community. Anyway, but our little town had two shoe shops, and they weren't, you know, they weren't the big chain ones. They were just the little neighborhood shoe shop. And I found a pair of boots. I think it was the only pair they had. And, of course, everything is way overpriced for these things. And I remember buying tights to wear under my jeans just so I could handle the cold, you know. And I needed them because when I got here, I think it was snowing when I arrived. And I had actually seen snow in Tasmania. It snowed up on Mount Wellington because I lived in Hobart.
Wow.
And I did get to see a little tiny bit of snow. It wasn't very much, probably about an inch's worth one time. An inch's worth one time it snowed up there.
Anyway.
But when I got here, it was snowing, and I was like, okay. I was excited because I wasn't scared of the snow. I just didn't want to be cold.
Right.
So, I wore tights under my jeans for 6 weeks. And now, of course, you know, I walk out to feed my chickens with barely a sweater on. I'm like, you know, I'm all climatized now.
Yay. So you actually came here then all by yourself to date your future husband.
He didn't even come back
husband.
To get me.
Oh!
I had to go by myself, but...
So did you ever go back to Australia once you dated and stayed and obviously got married because you have two beautiful children? Have you been back to Australia since?
I've been back three times, and it took me a while to get back the first time. It was 7 years, and I'd had my daughter by then. She wasn't very old. She was only about 18 months old, and I went back. And it was a nice visit, you know, to see. I only got to see my mom and my brother. My dad lives in a different place, but it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did originally leave, I actually left my poor dog behind, and I had hoped to be able to bring her over, but it just wasn't going to work. And so
that's
my daughter
sad.
Got to meet my doggy. And, you know, dogs just don't live very long. And
Yeah.
Although she did live a long time. She lived for 17 years, and my daughter got to meet my dog. And then I didn't get to come back again until I went back for my 20th high school reunion.
Wow.
And that was a few years back. But
you don't want to date yourself.
Not too much. I mean, I'm not that old, but you know.
No, you're not.
Honestly, I actually have just forgotten what year it was, okay?
That's okay. Dementia already. At your age.
I went back by myself that time. And
the second time that for was, your 20th anniversary.
That was fun. But and then I took the kids back with my husband finally. My husband actually had not met my family. And we went back and all together for Christmas 3 years ago. And we just had a great time. And I got to meet family I hadn't seen for a very long time. And my husband got to meet everyone for the first
family.
Time. And my son, who had not met anybody, he got to meet everybody as well. My daughter was too young, but so everyone met everybody again.
Yes. Well, that must have been a beautiful reunion for sure. So backtracking a tad, what were your thoughts when you arrived in America the first time? I mean, were there cultural differences you noticed, or you already mentioned physical differences? You know, you left in Australia when it was summer and arrived in America when it was winter. But what else?
Right. There was a lot of cultural differences. I mean, it wasn't that shocking just because, you know, we speak the same language. And for the most part, I have been told I speak another language, especially back then when it was very thick, my accent. And sometimes people
really?
Just couldn't understand me because I spoke too fast. But I think the most noticeable thing was things like the food.
Like what?
And it just didn't seem as nice to me when I first came out.
Okay, be brutally honest.
But part of that was, you know, when you grow up in another country, you get used to everything. And so while I thought of myself as quite adventurous, I really was very set in my ways and stubborn about certain things. And so it took me a while, especially after coming back to live, to just kind of go with it and to just, you know, say to myself, it's okay. It's meant to be different. You're in a different place, you know, and people live differently here. It's not going to be the way it was, you know, where you lived before. And so, I mean, things weren't that bad. It was just little things. And I think maybe that's a Utah thing as well, since Utah is where I live, and it may not be the same in other states of America, and that's what I've noticed about America too, that there
true.
Is such a diverse, there's a diverse range of the way people live, depending on where you are, depending on the climate, depending on, you know, all kinds of things, religion,
what the roots are,
whatever brings people together in their towns and cities and states.
So is there something in particular that was really hard for you to get used to that you're used to now, or that maybe you're still not used to?
I don't know. I think you just kind of start adapting, and I wouldn't call it not used to it. Maybe, I don't know, honestly, I can't really give you a straight answer.
You must
on that
have
one.
Really acclimated really, really well.
You know what?
Which is good. You've been here for how long then? How long have you been in America then, ish?
It will be 20 years this year.
Yeah, that's a long time. So it's okay if you're like, you know, honestly, I can't think of anything. What about, what about politically or educationally or something along those lines. I'm not even familiar with what kind of government Australia has.
We have,
compared to what we have.
You know what? To be perfectly honest, I know a lot more about America's government than I do my own. But
well, that's good.
The political climate of Australia is, we take a lot of things from England. And okay. So we have a parliament, we have a prime minister, and, you know, we have representatives, kind of, I suppose. I think the whole thing's rigged, honestly.
So do you have elections like we do where you can choose your representatives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. We have elections, and it's compulsory to vote in Australia.
Really? What happens if you
so
don't?
You will be fine.
And how do they know?
Well, what they do is when you turn 18 you're supposed to register to vote when you turn 18. And if you don't register to vote, well, somehow they find you. And that's what happened to me. So I remember I was living in some little house and I got this person come to my door. And they're like, you know, we're with the government. And we just were going around seeing if you're on our electoral rolls. And that's kind of where it started. And so I couldn't fly under the radar anymore. But Australia has a lot of socialism in it.
Yeah.
Elements of it, healthcare system, things like that, I think.
Meaning government controlled?
Yeah, there's lots of companies, well, not companies, but there's lots of elements of everyday life that are, you know, controlled directly by the government.
Education, is education one of them too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So education, healthcare, you know, probably
utilities,
your power, many, many things and things I don't even know. But yes, I was going to say, you asked me a little bit about education before, and so the same thing is here. Government run education is usually a disaster. And I can speak from experience. So, so I was going to say my own education was, I look at my own education and I did move around a lot. My dad had work with various mines. And so even though we lived in a set area, occasionally we would up and go with him for a few months. And so I jumped around a little bit as an elementary student. We call it primary school. So we jumped around for primary school and I got to experience a few different schools, and that may have had somewhat of an impact, you know, to my own education. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is it really, the quality of my education now that I'm comparing it to, say, what my children are getting was just terrible.
Oh, dear.
So, and I see the same thing here. I think, honestly, with those kinds of things, I think Australia was a little bit ahead of where America is now.
And educationally wise, with public ed?
Yes, yes. I honestly think they just want us to be these dumb, you know, to have the very basic skills in order for us to be paying taxes. But nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yes,
yeah. Enough skills to work so you can pay taxes, grow the government, repeat.
That's right. You have to be a useful citizen. And that is all you're allowed to be.
Mm.
That's what they want. That's
so
my opinion.
There's a familiar spirit with what we've got going on here with what you experienced there in Australia when it comes to government run anything. Yeah.
Yep.
So in essence, you came to America for love, right?
Right, I did. I did, and I got more
there's
than
a
I
love story.
For.
You got more than you bargained for. Oh my goodness! And you're willing to go on air and to show that, which is awesome.
Well,
no greater love.
It came for love, but now I love living here, and I love this country.
Why? That's kind of a broad question.
Right,
maybe I'll let you share your why when I ask you my favorite question at the very end. What do you think? Because I have two more questions to ask before start wrapping it up. What do you think? I'd love to know is there something that you left behind in Australia besides family that you miss?
Family and friends are kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But
did you like the climate better there? Like, at least where you lived?
You know, it's not really a climate thing. It's just mainly a land thing.
Mm.
All the familiar, you know, places and...
Yeah. Your roots. That was your roots, right?
Right.
I'll give you that.
Right.
How about, is there something that you left behind that you don't miss?
Yeah, probably quite a few things, I think. Not long before I came out, the Australian government took away, you know, people's, you know, severely restricted the firearm ownership laws. So, you know, I grew up with my father hunting. You know, there was always a gun in the house. Even my stepfather, he hunted. It just wasn't a big deal, you know, to have a gun in the house. And then all of a sudden, you need to go hand anything semi-automatic in.
Mm.
And, you know, anyway, they say there's a reason. You know, we had a guy go and shoot a bunch of people in Tasmania, actually. Yeah, I think it was in 1998. Don't quote me on that date. It's been a little while. But
I won't.
And so they basically did it as kind of an emergency. Well, this guy went nuts and shot a bunch of people, so we're going to take everyone's ability to own a gun away. I'm like, well, that was awfully convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to follow that. Anyway. But that really bothered me, and I wasn't even very, what's the word? I wouldn't have called myself very conservative, but that bothered me because of where Australia is placed. You know, we're an island and we don't have a huge population. I'm sorry if you can hear my kitty. She wants to be on the show.
Hi, kitty.
and we have Indonesia sitting above us, and I thought, why would you disarm your population? Why would you do that?
Mm.
Anyway, it was just kind of weird to me, and it just kind of bothered me because even then I could sense that there was something wrong in that. And but you know, I don't like bad government policies. And you know, the older I've gotten and the longer I've lived here in the United States, I look back and go, oh my gosh, Australia has all these bad government policies. And I can look back now and see, you know, with fresher eyes and go, oh, I can see how that's ruining this and, you know, that's affecting that. And anyway, that bothers me a lot. And I'm glad that I've left that behind. But it bothers me still, though, because my family has to live with those kinds of things, especially of late with their COVID policies that they've had. And so that's been a bit of a bother too. Plus, I can't go and see my family unless I go get a vaccine. And I'm one of those people. I don't want one. Thanks.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to wait until it all blows over, if it does, you know.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. So if you had a chance, which you're going to share a 1 minute message today that you could give our American young people and us older people, what would it be?
You know, I was listening to something the other night and I thought, you know, how can a country that has such an amazing beginning as the United States be in the position that it's in right now, with just so many people hating their own country or just adopting values that don't aren't very good values. They're adopting values that are not values that have been traditionally held here, and it's dividing the country. And and I thought, how do you go from that to where we are? And I thought, you just don't teach people how great your country is anymore, because that's the only thing I can put my finger on. Not learning about the history of your country, the true history, not the new history that they're trying to teach. And I think when you become disconnected from your roots as a nation, then you don't know who you are anymore. So my only advice to people would be, you've got to read your history, and you've got to love your country and fight for it. You've got to fight for it. And that can mean different things to different people, you know. But first you've got to learn about your country, and then you'll start to love it. And that's...
So question on that is, what advice could you give to parents to help teach their children true American history? And how are they going to know it's true? I have an idea in case you don't have one. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts?
I think there's so many good resources out there for American history, good, reliable resources. I think if they're learning it in public school, you can probably just be assured that along with some of the truth that they're teaching is going to be some weird stuff as well. So you can't trust that source. You just simply can't, because, it's not without an agenda. And so you have to go searching for yourself. But, things like Hillsdale College, I'm guessing most people that are going to hear us, I've already fairly, conservative in their views, and most people would agree they love their country.
Mm-hmm.
And so even I don't know all the sources. I just, I like to listen to conservative radio. And honestly, if people would also read other people's experiences from the way their own countries have become corrupted, and reading about communism, reading about what it does to people, that kind
what
of thing,
done
just
in the
to
past.
Know what you're looking for, and to know to be grateful for what you have.
I love that. That's a good note to end on, Haley, to be grateful for what we have. And it doesn't matter where we live, really, we can still have grateful for what we do have, even if it's just having our life and our family and our friends and the air we breathe. But there's so much more we can be thankful for. Any other thoughts before we wrap it up?
I'm sure I'll think of something when this is over.
That's okay. We'll just have you on for part two, starring Haley Wilson. Well, Haley, thank you so much for joining us on Ask an Immigrant, and for your time, for your willingness to share some of your personal life story and insights, and especially how much you value America, and that you're willing to share this for other listeners and their kids to hear is awesome. So I want our listeners to know that if you or someone you know is an immigrant to America and would like to share your story on Ask an Immigrant, to contact me at Lydia Nuttall, that's LYDIANUTTALL, at centurylink.net. And thank you everyone for joining me and Haley, and now go forth, stand up today for liberty in your life.